Turn your Bibles, will, to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, verse number 1. Exodus 24, verse number 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. We want to take a look here for however many messages that it takes, a handful of messages, regarding the 70 elders and 70 witnesses. 70 elders and 70 witnesses. In this chapter, we're seeing here about the Lord going to reveal himself, and we're going to come back to this chapter here this afternoon and take a look at it. It's in its entirety. But these 70 elders, where do they come from? What is the purpose of them? Who are they? What is their job there amongst Israel? I want us to go back from here in chapter 24 back to Exodus chapter 18. I'll tell you up front that I'm back and forth about whether this is their origin and their genesis, but the 70 elders. I want to look and see, I struggle in how to word what my thinking is, about this subject. 70 elders to meet a purpose of leadership in Israel. Israel is big. I mean, you know, we're a congregation of 30 to 40 when we meet together. Can you imagine us being 400, 10 times that? Can you imagine us being 1,000 times that? To try to deal with all the issues of a people on the move and getting an oracle from God and getting directive about how to worship and you know, the Lord establishing a nation and all that. One man has been called to lead this great nation out of Egypt, and it's how do you get that accomplished? Well, there's got to be some help, and we see here in chapter 18, we'll pick it up here in verse number 13. Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're heading towards Sinai. And Moses' father-in-law hears about it and comes and meets with them. And so in chapter 18, verse number 13, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. So Jethro has come, and he's brought Moses' wife and his sons, and has brought them unto Moses that they might be there together. And Jethro observes this. Moses is the leader of the people. I mean, God has made that evidence. And he sanctified Moses, and he sanctified Aaron, set them apart in this by what the Lord has done regarding the plagues. They carried the word of God unto Pharaoh, and God did what Moses said he would do. God tells Moses, Moses tells Pharaoh, and to Pharaoh it looks like Moses is doing this and the power of God's behind him. And the people see that too, and the nation of Israel sees how they're spared from those things. They see what happens with the Egyptians, but they see how the Lord doesn't do that to them. And so this man Moses, as the scripture says, becomes very mighty, not only in the eyes of the Egyptians, but also in the eyes of Israel. Well, Brother Jethro, and I believe he's a priest of the Lord. It says in verse number 1, the priest of Midian. He's one of these fellows that we see in the scripture that's like Job. Job evidently was a priest of the Lord, it seems, like Balaam. Maybe you might think that Balaam was not, but take a look at how the Lord dealt with Balaam and talked with Balaam, how Balaam inquired with the Lord and such as that. Now, he was disobedient. He became wicked. Nevertheless, we have some of these men in the scriptures. And so here in Midian is this priest of the Lord, Jethro, and he is Moses' father-in-law. And so he observes this about Moses, that Moses sat to judge the people from morning to evening. I mean, it's a continual thing. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people?" Verse 14. "Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people has come unto me to inquire of God." They need these things decided and figured out. They need to know what God says about it. It's part of this that the word of the Lord is with Moses, and it's not in the man. It's God's calling of the man and working through the man. And it's good. The people are persuaded of that. He says in verse 16, "When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." See, what they have going on is just life. Life continues on, and conflicts continue on, and difficulties and issues continue on. They're being brought up by the Lord out of Egypt, and the Lord is establishing a nation and going to give them and giving them the things they need to be his nation. But these individuals, all million of them, million and a half of them, they've got day-to-day issues, and they've got conflicts one with another, and they need somebody to tell them what's going on, how it is. And so we see here in this that they are all coming to Moses, aren't they? And can you imagine that? And how fast are the cases coming through? I figure the cases are coming through pretty quick. Say your piece. Here's the way it is. Say next. Say your piece. Here's the way it is. I mean, that's what it seems that he is doing. And so he says he judges one between the other. "And I make them to know what God says, the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God." So Jethro, he begins his recommendation here. And sets it in place. He says, "Listen to me, and God shall be with thee." He says, "Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, men that hate covetousness, and place such over them," over the people, "to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." So Jethro says, you stand in the place of this getting the oracle from God, and you taking it, teaching it to the people. That's your calling indeed. But to deal with this day-to-day stuff, you get some men that are spiritual. That's always been the way that the Lord works, hadn't it? Spiritual men. We see the deacons in the first church. They had a physical thing that needed to be dealt with because of the Greek widows were feeling like they were getting ignored, I think it was. And so the apostles said, this business here, we need to be giving ourselves to the word of God and to prayer, and you need to get you some men that are spiritual, full of the word of God. They've got some character, some godly character about them to appoint over these physical matters. And understand and know this. The Lord didn't say, and the apostles didn't say, get men that are really good in business and that have a good reputation in the community. And not that those things are bad, but he said, get spiritual men. Spiritual men that are lined up with the word of the Lord. And so he said, place them over these different divisions, thousands, hundreds, rulers of fifties and so on, rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. And so Jethro is not pushy about it. But he says, think about this, Moses. Think about this and take this to the Lord. Then shalt thou be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. It'll be a good thing. It'll be a good way. And Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. So now, is this, I'm going to ask the question, I may create more questions for us than answers, but is this the establishment of this that we see with the elders in Israel? I'll tell you the thing that I'm wrangling with. You take a group of 1.5 million people, say, or 1 million people, and put rulers over tens, you're going to have a lot of judges. More than any number that we're going to be looking at and considering right here. Maybe that's a figure of speech. Maybe it's that way. Maybe there is a hierarchy that's established and certain types of causes are brought to different ones. I don't know. But I've always thought to date that this was the establishment of this assisting work of the elders in Israel to Moses and that. So now we come back to chapter 24, and in this chapter, I tell you what, we really see something wonderful and great here, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you as it has been to me. In chapter 24 of Exodus, again, we read from verse number 1, and he came and he said unto Moses, God did, come up to the Lord, thou, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. And so this is Aaron and his sons, and they were to be the priests of the Lord. It's the beginning of the lineage of Aaron in the priesthood, and 70 of the elders of Israel. 70, and maybe this is a select. Maybe this is the ones that are over the thousands or tens of thousands, if you will. They are leaders indeed amongst the children of Israel in those tribes, 12 tribes. And so if you kind of took a look at it, that maybe nominally there would be 5 to 6 of them from each tribe. Of course, we know that the numbers, the numbers of each of the tribes is different. They're not exactly the same. You might have more from one tribe and less from another tribe. But these 70 elders are called. They're part of the leadership that's there. Are they that which is ordained in chapter 18? We've got a question mark there. Maybe the Lord will show us that if we need to know it. But he says, the Lord says, I want you to come up, Aaron, his sons, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. Verse 2, and Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar in sanctifying it and such. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said, will we do and be obedient? Now, this stems back to what the Lord has spoken from Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. He spoke, God spoke audibly into the entire nation, as we refer to it and understand it, the Ten Commandments, the summary of the law of God. The detail of daily sacrifice and the sacrifices and pursuing of that and that of the tabernacle and all that order and everything, he gave that directly to Moses. But in those Ten Commandments, he declared that from Mount Sinai. And you know what? The people feared. You remember back about that? They feared. They quaked. It's such a sight it was for the mountain to be on a smoke and the voice of God rumbling through that land. And they heard the voice of God as a nation. And they came and they said, Moses, don't have God talk to us directly anymore. You go to God. You find out what we're going to do. And whatever God says, that's what we're going to do. They were afraid. You know, Moses, in another subject, Moses is drawn to it. Moses wants more of the Lord. And the people were afraid of the Lord. Not all. You got brother Caleb and Joshua, right? You've got brother Joshua. He wants to be near. He likes being Moses' servant. You know, and there's occasion there in the scripture where he just stays near. He stays close. He's waiting to see what the Lord says or what happens next. All right. And how is it with you and me? Do we fear the Lord and stay away from the Lord? Tell you what, if we're that way, if we're fearful of the Lord and we stay away from the Lord, you know, maybe we need to introspect and take a look about sin in our lives. Because I tell you what, the right place for the child of God is near the Lord, listening to the Lord, desiring to hear from the Lord and wanting to know more from him. And so in verse number 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. Did you realize that was in there? The 70 elders saw the God of Israel. Why? Why do they need to see the God of Israel? Because I tell you what, the calling and the work of the Lord and what lies ahead for Israel and going into Canaan, this is the first generation. This is the generation that came out. They need to be converted. And what I mean by that is like the Lord talks to Peter about it. They need to be settled that this is God Almighty that has called them. And they are elders in Israel, leaders in Israel, following the man Moses appointed by God to go do what God has said. And to deal righteously and to sanctify the Lord. What's that mean to sanctify the Lord? You know, the Lord sets things apart, sanctifies. Like he did Moses. He showed his power with Moses and through Moses. He gave his word to Moses. And so Moses was set apart in that way that the children of Israel learned that they need to listen to Moses. Because Moses is God's man. And so then how is it that you and I can sanctify the Lord? We set the Lord apart by showing that we obey him, that we believe him, that we trust him in what he says. No matter what the Lord says, if it makes it totally no sense to the flesh and to the world, we sanctify and set apart the Lord and our witness of the Lord by obeying him and what he said. That's what we're going to do. And so the Lord brings up Moses and the priesthood, Aaron and his sons, and these 70 elders of Israel. Listen, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. We've seen that in other references in the Old Testament scriptures, different studies that we've done, our brethren that have been given a vision of the throne of God and such. And as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. We've had some things that are described. Brother Ezekiel, in his the vision that he has of the throne room of God, the throne of God. We see some similar reference to that. And so, and I don't think it's not a thing that the Lord is very near to them. I think that the Lord is at a distance, but they're able to see that, to be in the presence of God. Can you imagine having been a slave, a bondman in Egypt some weeks or months ago, and now on Sinai, seeing the glory of the Lord? I tell you what, that's the way the Lord saves, and that's the way the Lord rescues. That's the way the Lord blesses. The greatest blessing of our God unto us is that he gives us and has given us himself. And so these 70 elders, they are there with Brother Moses and Brother Aaron and so on. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. He didn't destroy them. He allowed them to come near. Because see, it had been said, you don't cross this line around the mount. You don't let an animal cross this line around the mount. Otherwise, if they do cross this line, they die. But the Lord told, bring them up here. Bring them up here to see me. And listen to what it says. And upon the nobles, verse 11, upon the nobles of the children of Israel, these elders, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. Isn't that something? There's a feast that is there. Did the Lord provide that? Did they bring it? We don't have any indication that they took it up. Isn't that something? Remember how it was with Jesus there with Brother Peter and those that went fishing with him? And then the Lord appeared to him there as they fished there on Galilee again. And the Lord says, come on up here and eat. Come and dine. The purpose and work of the Lord has always been the same. I heard a brother mention it here recently. Salvation's no different. And so, I forget where it was that I've heard that, but it's true. I reiterate it, that the Lord has been saving. I was during VBS, Brother Stephen, in his class. The Lord's been saving by faith, by repentance and faith from the beginning, faith in him. And you know what the desire of the Lord is always with sinners that he saves is fellowship. Let's visit. Let's commune one with another. Remember how God communed with Abraham? He communes with these. They saw God and they did eat and drink before him. What is it, the promise that we have from our Lord Jesus Christ? We mention it every time we observe the Lord's Supper. He's waiting on us. He's not going to partake of that fruit of the vine, or I believe of that bread, until he drinks it with us new in his kingdom. We're looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb, aren't we? Indeed, we are. Man, to be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb and be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord. What's better? What's better than that? Tell me what's better than that. There's nothing better than that, is there? They saw God and they did eat and drink. And the Lord said, verse 12, said unto Moses, come up to me and to the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And so Moses is called up by the Lord to come on further, to come on further up, and for the purpose that he has called him. The commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us. Wait until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and the cloud covered the mount, And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel, even those elders. And Moses went up there. He sure did. He sure did. He was called of the Lord to do it, and he did it, and that was what the Lord was going to work in and through him. And you know what? He was not afraid of the Lord. He feared in reverential fear of the Lord, but not in a condemnation type of fear from the Lord. The righteousness and the glory of the Lord is wondrous and great. We look forward to the day that we see it ourselves, don't we? Moses went up so far and had to stay seemingly right there at a point for about a week, 6 days before he could go on up. And then it was time. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire, verse 17, on the top of the mountain, the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to close right there for this afternoon. Next time we're going to go, Lord willing, we're going to go over into Numbers and see another mention about these 70 elders and what the Lord does with them. And then in time, as we take a look and maybe a third message, we're going to see how this comes on into the New Testament time. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, is by no means a failure, is it? God has given it for the purpose that he has given it for. The New Testament tells us that he's given the law that all might become guilty before God, because we can't keep it. But anyone that does look to the law for salvation finds the law to be a failure. It turns out, as the New Testament scriptures tells us, it turns out to be a condemnation, looking to the law for salvation, because you and I can't keep it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ kept it. And that's the reason that we need him as Savior and his imputed righteousness. I'm wondering if there's not a thing here that we have this about the 70 elders. And we'll see, and it was ordained by God, and it was right because it was ordained by God. But we're going to see the ultimate failure of the government of men. And then we're going to see the blessing and the calling of the Lord. And how wondrous the simplicity and the calling of the Lord works and is used by the Lord. Brother Mark, in his lessons in Sunday school about the Lord's church, in search of the Lord's church, and search of my church, and that, he's got about three or four titles there that he's got with that. This, I think that this fits these messages, and what we're going to see here in the end of this is that there is very much a weakness, a perceived weakness of the design of the Lord and his operation amongst mankind. That if we don't obey the Lord and what he's given us, what he has given falls apart. Brother Mark pointed out this morning, you bring another government, say of a convention, up beside the government of the New Testament Baptist, local New Testament Baptist church, and you know what will happen? All other governments will railroad over the government and the church. And that's what I mean by its weakness. The thing is, in obeying the Lord and sticking to what he's given us, There's strength and there's power in the working of the Lord to confound the mighty. You see what I'm saying? I pray that I'm able to convey that. And you pray for me that I'll be able to convey that. There is a seeming weakness in what the Lord has ordained for us in this day. But I tell you what, it's the power of God if we obey it. That's the only way. Because why? It's only pursued by faith. You got to believe, you and I've got to believe that because God said it, it will work, even though the world says it won't work. The flesh says it won't work. It's too fragile. It's not powerful enough. I think that's what we're going to see with these 70 too. May the Lord help. You pray that the Lord will bless us together, isn't it?